Well, if you care about civility in our democratic discourse, you may want to steer clear right now of newly minted Massachusetts Senator Scott Brown's Facebook page. Yesterday, in an attempt to explain why he joined four other Republicans in voting for a Democratic jobs bill, Brown posted a status update that read in part, "The Senate jobs bill is not perfect. I wish the tax cuts were deeper and broader, but I am voting for it because it contains measures that will help put people back to work." And then the floodgates opened. 2,793 comments ensued, mostly going after the senator from the right. One Massachusetts voter commented, "Can I have the money I donated to your campaign back, please, Scott Socialist Brown?" And another, "Hey, Judas, how many pieces of gold did you receive?" Now, to be fair, while the overwhelming number of posts were negative, Scott Brown's Facebook status did receive 1,417 likes. So there was some approval mixed in with the scorn. But the jobs bill is more than just a Facebook brouhaha, and it's more than just a moment of rare bipartisanship in Washington. It's also a jobs bill with actual attempts at job creation. The bill is expected to pass the full Senate today, and Jay Newton Small of Time magazine has been reporting on it all along. She joins us now to talk about the policy and the politics, Scott Brown and other. Jay, welcome to WNYC. Hi there.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
Let's start with the actual content of the bill and the actual size of the bill, $15 billion, which to you and me sounds like a lot of money, but in the scheme of things in Washington, this is the most pared down bare bones jobs bill that anybody would have thought of, right?
Yeah, I mean, when you're looking at, you know, Barack Obama, for example, his health care plan is $951 billion, close to $1 trillion. $15 billion in Washington these days is a drop in the bucket. And by the way, it just passed the Senate just now by a vote of 70-28. So a very, very bipartisan, successful vote for Harry Reid.
So let's see, did even more Republicans vote for it than who voted
for
cloture?
Yep, exactly. A bunch of other Republicans came on board and supported the bill itself. Because, I mean, look, it's a very, almost everything in there was very, very bipartisan, and it was a very stripped-down bill. It had, the main part of it was a deal between Chuck Schumer of New York and Orrin Hatch of Utah, who's a Republican, that basically provided tax breaks for companies that are hiring people, which is something that everybody can support. You know, there was an extension of the Highway Trust Fund, which, you know, gives the Highway Trust Fund money for another year, which, you know, will provide, they say, thousands and thousands of jobs as people build highways across the country. So, I mean, it was mostly very, very easy bipartisan stuff. And this is the kind of thing that Reid plans on undoing and repeating every week, these little tiny bites of jobs bills, you know, and jobs initiatives for basically every week through Easter recess, just trying to get Democrats back in a place where they're actually winning votes and producing legislation that everybody can be happy about and keeping the jobs issue up in the forefront in news.
Listeners, if you are an employer, now that it looks like this is actually going to become reality, would any of these provisions spur you to hire new employees as a payroll tax exemption and a $1,000 hiring credit? The thing that will bring you getting new employees into the company, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Explain a little more, especially for employers out there, how the Social Security payroll tax exemption will work.
Basically, you're saying if you're hiring people, we're going to give you money back, and we're going to incentivize you to hire more people, to keep people that you've got already on payroll, and that's why, I mean, part of the what they say the stimulus. I mean, obviously, the stimulus is a much bigger bill; it's not separate from this. But part of the criticisms of the stimulus has been is that it hasn't produced enough job creation so far. And so, what these bills are targeted to doing will be to help really medium-sized and small employers, which are the main engines of growth, of job growth in the United States, always has been. They produce more than 70% of the jobs in the United States, to retain and to hire new employees. And so
it's basically a 6% off sale, right? Because the payroll tax is 6.2%. And then they're adding to that an additional $1,000 credit if the new worker stays on the job for a full year. Do I have those details right?
Yep, you've got it right, exactly. And I mean, that's also the reason why they did it for a full year is because they were nervous that people were going to turn around and sort of hire a worker, then fire them, then hire them back again, then fire them, mm-hmm. and then get a whole bunch of these credits. You have to sort of prove that the worker's been there for a year. So the effect of this might be a little bit delayed. It might happen in a year's time where people are getting all these credits coming in.
And actually, the tax credit is only for this calendar year, right? So it expires at the end of December?
Exactly. Although there's a lot of talk that they're going to try and renew it next year. So we'll see when it comes up and it expires if they'll renew it.
The economic analyst from Moody's, Mark Zandi, estimates that the tax credit could spur 250,000 new jobs. Is that a lot or a little?
Well, these days, any new jobs is a lot. and the administration and Harry Reid and most of the Democrats have spent the last week sort of saying, look, you know, we were losing upwards of a million jobs, you know, 800,000 jobs a month when they took office. Now that has, you know, come down to a trickle, sort of 20,000 jobs a month that they're still losing. But they want to be able to sort of start adding jobs and be able to claim that, you know, we've lost more than 8 million jobs. We need to get back to the place where we were before this economic recession happened.
Hal in Portchester owns a small business. Hi, Hal. Thanks a lot for calling.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for taking my call.
What kind of business do you own, if you don't mind
saying?
I'm
in the apartment house trade, building maintenance business in the Bronx.
Uh-huh.
And for me, the jobs bill is completely waste of time. It's completely useless.
Because?
I don't have the business right now to support hiring new workers. All they would be doing would just be sitting there looking at each other. To me, this is going about it all backwards. The stimulus is the only way to do it because that's what generates spending and that's what generates, you know, increased business, which would require me to increase my staff.
So what's different in the stimulus than this kind of stimulus? The Republicans are saying, you know, the Democrats like to call this a jobs bill. The Republicans like to call it stimulus, too. I guess that is until they started voting for it. But what's the difference to you between this kind of thing and a stimulus?
To me, you can't hire people unless you have the business to support them. It's kind of like, you know, the cart before the horse type of thing. And I just can't see it doing me any good because mm-hmm. if I can't support, you know, taking people on, you know, these credits or are not going to do me any good.
Hal, thank you a lot for calling. And I guess your business, Jay, has to be in a certain position in order for this 6% off sale to make a difference, right? If you can't afford, if it's not going to be a good investment for you to, you know, spend that other 94% of what it costs for a new employee, mm-hmm. then this doesn't work for you.
Well, what they're hoping is that the stimulus, I mean, look, we've only actually spent or paid out less than a third of the stimulus so far, and a lot of that happened in tax cuts. So what they're hoping, the Senate is hoping, and Congress and the President is hoping to see in the next year is a huge part of the stimulus paid out, much more paid out in infrastructure. Hopefully, when that starts paying out, then it'll work hand in hand with this tax credit. So the demand will increase. People are the economy will be stimulated. There'll be work available for Al's workers, as he was saying. And then, you know, when they're starting to hire, when they've got enough business to hire, it'll work hand in hand with this tax credit, and they'll say, okay, great. Now even more incentive to hire people because I'll get money back for it.
We're talking to Jay Newton Small of Time Magazine, who's been covering the jobs bill in Congress, which just passed the Senate, as she reported here, by a vote of 70-28. That means at least 11 Republicans voted for it. And we have a question about that, I think, from Neil in Brooklyn. Neil, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Yes, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to, if you could expand upon the discrepancy of those 11 so votes and speculate as to whether their Facebook statuses for reversing a vote will be as harsh as, you know, socialist Judas Scott Brown would be. I'll listen out there.
Thank you for your call. Jay, are they all going to get it now, too, on their Facebook pages, these 11? I guess it's 11, right? Is that the right number, 11 Republicans?
You know, I haven't seen the breakdown of the vote since it just happened, but I wouldn't surprise me if it were at least 11 Republicans, probably more, actually, because I know, for example, that Ben Nelson of Nebraska voted against the bill because he still wants to see more of the stimulus paid out before they start spending even more money, and he's concerned about deficit spending. And so he voted against it, which would mean that probably at least 12 Republicans voted for it.
Right.
I spoke with Lisa Murkowski yesterday from Alaska, who was a Republican, who told me that she was actually planning to vote for the bill, even though she voted against cloture. And the way she explained it was, look, the vote against cloture is a vote of protest because we were very upset that Republicans weren't allowed to offer amendments to the bill. We were upset that, I mean, we support the underlying bill, but we were upset at the way Harry Reid went about bringing the bill to the floor, yanking the very bipartisan bill, which was produced by Max Baucus and Chuck Grassley. Max Baucus is the chairman of the Finance Committee. He's a Democrat from Montana. Chuck Grassley is his Republican counterpart from Iowa. And they had spent weeks producing this bipartisan deal, which then Harry Reid yanked off the floor.
That was an $85 billion bill.
Exactly.
Harry Reid yanked it for this little $15 billion bill.
Well, he did, and then in many ways, you know, this bill is this is just the first step of many bills. So what he did is he sort of broke up that bill into a bunch of little smaller bills that are going to go bite-sized by bite-sized each week.
So he's going to be introducing each one of these to kind of get back up to the full Grassley-Baucus proposal, pretty much?
Exactly. In fact, I think the ultimate deal will be even bigger than the Baucus-Grassley deal. So I think it'll be more than $85 billion total by the time you get around to passing all these little tiny bills that they're doing every week. So, it's interesting because a lot of these, and again, I think Reid's going to be limiting the Republican opportunities to offer amendments, but these are such popular, you know, bills that it's going to be very hard for Republicans to block them and vote against them because they're going to, you know, they're worried about the label of the party of no. But which is why in this bill, for example, they got five Republicans voting for cloture,
right,
even though most of them were very upset at the process part of it.
For cloture to end the Republican filibuster that some of their Republican colleagues had started to undertake against the bill. In fact, yesterday, Harry Reid sounded a little over the top in the aftermath of the cloture vote. Take a listen.
I hope this is the beginning of a new day here in the Senate. Whether this new day was created by the new senator from Massachusetts or some other reason, I'm very, very happy that we were able to get this done.
So, Jay, is it really a new day? You wrote this morning that all of a sudden Reid is talking about all these other bills that have been on the back burner, the Federal Aviation Administration's reauthorization, a bill to modernize aerospace infrastructure, other infrastructure investments, even energy programs. So will this open the bipartisan legislative floodgates?
Well, certainly that's what Reid is hoping for, and he's hoping that this particular vote will set him up and the Democrats up for a series of successful votes that they can do. And by breaking it up and by not making it one giant bill where they were, you know, there would be a lot of criticism saying these things are unrelated. Why are you putting FAA into this? Why are you putting, tax credits for companies for research and development? Why are you putting these into what is ostensibly supposed to be a jobs bill? Instead, Reid is breaking them up and saying, we're going to vote on these every week, and every week we're going to highlight why these bills are good for America, why they're bipartisan, why they're going to, you know, how many jobs they're going to produce, and we're going to take it much more simply. Rather than taking these enormous sort of, it's like almost like when you're eating, if you put too much in your mouth, it's really hard to swallow. It's like that big gulp, you know. If you take it by smaller bites, it works much better. And in this case, I think Reid's found a recipe in order to successfully push through the jobs agenda and, you know, keep the issue in the forefront of voters, because that's been a big concern for Democrats and for voters that they aren't doing enough to help stimulate job creation.
John in Paramus, small business owner. You're on WNYC. Thanks for calling, John.
Yes, Brian. Small businesses can't hire people because they can't afford to. People, they need working capital. They need a few tax breaks to stimulate their business, to do marketing, and to have the business grow. Then they'll be able to hire people. I know myself and plenty of people in my position are doing more work themselves. They're actually doing the work themselves instead of managing because they can't afford new employees. I would love to have new employees. I just don't have my business. Is not growing because I don't have the whereabouts to get it to grow.
What would be the single best thing that the government could do to help you?
cut the payroll, cut some down on the payroll taxes, and make loans available to small businesses, low-interest loans.
And they're trying to make low-interest loans available through moving around some of the TARP money like they were talking about a couple of weeks ago. Helpful, or was that just symbolic?
Nah, that doesn't work. You know, and the amount of paperwork and red tape that goes into it, they should have make money available to local banks, to local businesses, where someone can go in and apply for a small business loan. They can have some working capital. They can do some more marketing. They can do some more research, is some more capital expansion, buy some new equipment, try and get more business, and then they'll hire more people. I'm in the limousine business. I would hire a driver tomorrow if I had more business, if I had another account. I'm doing more driving now than I've done in 20 years.
John, thank you for your call, and good luck. Call us again. All right, let's see. Some of the other Republicans voting for this jobs bill just coming in now. Voinovich of Ohio, he also voted for cloture yesterday.
Yep.
Kit Bond of Missouri, isn't he one of the most conservative Republicans, anti-Obama Republicans?
He is, but he's also retiring, so I think he's a little bit more free these days to vote what he would want to vote versus voting for his, you know, feeling like he needs to get reelected next time.
Lamar Alexander from Tennessee, he's also been out there on the networks bashing Obama spending.
Yeah, I mean, he's the number two Senate Republican in leadership. He's behind Mitch McConnell. Actually, number three, sorry, behind Mitch McConnell. That's surprising to me that Lamar Alexander voted for this. But he also can be a bit of a maverick sometimes on his own. For example, he's a supporter of a bipartisan health care bill with Ron Wyden right now, who's a Democrat from Oregon.
Olympias. No surprise. But look at this. John Cornyn from Texas voted for this bill, according to what we're seeing.
Yeah, now that's also surprising because John Cornyn is the head of the senatorial committee, which works to elect candidates. And so by definition, he's probably the most partisan Republican in the Senate right now. He's always a reliable bomb thrower for quotes for when reporters need something really bombastic. You go to John Cornyn and you say, what do you think about this? And he's bound to say something very, very hyper-partisan. So if John Cornyn's voting for this, that means that he believes that this is something that is good for Republicans to vote for, is good for Republican candidates to support.
And now we have a Cornyn quote just coming in where he advises against reading too much into his vote today. He says, frankly, I just don't think it was all that big of a deal.
Well, that's one way to put it, but at the same time, you just gave Harry Reid a partisan victory. So
I guess so. And what do you make of the Scott Brown vote? We opened the segment by talking about the 2,793 comments on his Facebook page after he explained there why he voted for the bill. Comments like, hey, Judas, how many pieces of gold did you receive? And can I have the money I donated to your campaign back, please? Scott Socialist Brown. So what motivated him after he had become this symbol of, you know, the new Republican power?
Well, I mean, that always sort of amazed me, and I went to the National Tea Party Convention and to CPAC in the last few weeks, and it always amazed me that they considered Scott Brown, you know, the sort of totem pole of, you know what I mean, like they're sort of the symbol of the conservative movement when by definition, he represents the most liberal state in the union, and he's going to have to be very moderate. He's going to be another Olympia Snow, another Susan Collins, the ladies from Maine. He's going to have to appease his own constituents back home in Massachusetts, and, you know, right now, voting against a jobs bill would be really hard for him. He has to run for re-election. He has to make sure he's not a one-term guy, and, you know, and his constituents are going to demand that. So, I mean, he's also pro-choice. It's funny to see him as sort of the Tea Party sort of, you know,
poster
mascot
boy,
when he's really not. You know, he is actually going to be a moderate.
All right, there you have it. The jobs bill just passed in the Senate by a vote of 70-28, with 13 Republicans, as it turns out, joining 57 Democrats in support of the package. One Democrat, Senator Ben Nelson of Nebraska, voted against it. We thank Jay Newton Small from Time Magazine for coming on with us. Jay, thanks a lot.
Thanks for having me.
And more on jobs in just a minute. More from our new job hunting radio series and Facebook community called Help Wanted. One of our job seekers, Allison, will be back, and we'll talk to a recruiter about going on informational interviews when there is no actual job opening. So stay with us and check out our Help Wanted Facebook site. Go to WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehrer Show to get there.